The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Save big on everything for your next project now at Menards. Breathe easier with Best Air Allergen Air Filters. They trap larger airborne contaminants to keep allergens out of your home, and they last up to 90 days. Save big on all Best Air products at Menards and refresh your home today. View our entire selection of air filtration products on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
In the night, your heart fills with dread. Probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed. You'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinister Who?
Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for being with us. It is yet another Freaky Friday. It is Friday, March 28th, 2025, and we are ready to tell your odd but true stories today. Hello and welcome.
Can't believe March is about over.
That's what I said to my therapist when she was like, all right, now the next time we're meeting is March 31st. And I was like, that's what I was like, March 31st.
It seems like it's really blowing by faster than usual. Maybe it's because it's like drinking from a water hose. So yeah. It seems like, much like the Twin Flames interview, we'll get to in a second.
Yeah.
The first 3 minutes felt like 3 days because so much happened. And I think that's how March has been too.
Yeah, if you haven't yet been to our YouTube channel, this past Tuesday, we streamed live so you can watch the rerun and just experience it with us. Jeff and Shalaya from episodes, God, I think it was like 260 something, 267 to 268, something like that.
Let me see. I got it pulled up. Where are you idiots at? Where'd we cover you at? Yeah, 267.
Hey, I called it.
Oh, 260. It was a three-parter.
Yes.
266 yes. through 268.
Well, if you recall them, and I'm sure, how could you have forgotten? But they recently did an interview with Avery Haines, an incredible journalist out of Canada. And we took to our YouTube channel this past Tuesday and did a watch along. So thanks to everybody that joined. And. That's all.
I just want to say, do whatever you got to do to get this to the masses.
Yeah, spread it.
One, it's legitimately the funniest thing I've ever seen.
I'm angry.
And I've seen a lot. I mean, I'm a comedian. I've seen a lot of funny people do a lot of funny shit. But this is the most unintentionally funny thing I think I've ever seen.
I'm telling you, I just kept going. It's like a Christopher Guest movie. It's offensive to me as a writer that I could not have written something as funny as
we
that.
We can't write anything as good as the insanity that came out of their mouths.
It's Tommy Wiseau from The Room. Absolutely. Like, you're tearing me apart, Lisa. And he's like, I gotta go get a drink of water. It's crazy.
Oh, man.
The amount of times we were just like, this couldn't be going worse for them.
No.
But it could. And it does. Oh,
yeah.
So,
but it can.
Please watch the rerun.
Because share. Yes. And then everyone's gonna see just what fraudsters and legitimate cult leaders they are.
Yeah.
So
abusive ruin assholes. Them. For sure.
At least ruin their business. Maybe like they can go do whatever, but they are destroying people's lives and telling them to change genders. So fuck them.
Yeah, fuck them. It's like, let's just make sure they can't do that to anybody else.
Yeah.
Like when people Google Twin Flames, it's not them. It's the Netflix show and our show and Avery Haines' interview. And like when someone's like, maybe I want to follow this, but there are still people that sign up for Scientology every day of the week. And it's wild to me. So
It is wild to me, too. I don't know where they're getting their information from, but
you think it would be like, I Googled this and oh no, that's mm-hmm. not good. But I'm the one that followed those Osho tarot cards for 2 years before I realized it was wild, wild country. So who am I to talk shit?
There you go.
We all get wrapped up in something that sounds good to us at the time.
Uh-huh. Truly. Well, all of these are, I don't want to say they sound good to us, but they're very well written, entertaining, sometimes sad, sometimes funny stories we've got this week.
Well, thank you all for sending them in, and thank you for curating them, Christy. I appreciate it, and I'm excited to dive in.
The last three, your three,
I'm excited,
have a theme that seems to have emerged, and we could even do more, and maybe we will, because turns out it's pretty, pretty common.
As you all listen, see if you can glean the theme and how you may participate in a future episode, because it might pertain to you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get freaky. This first one sounds like something I wrote in, but I didn't. It's from Katie, and it's called Thrown in a Cop Car at Age 11. Oh, man. Age 11. What are you?
Sixth grade? Fifth grade, yeah, end of fifth grade, beginning of sixth grade.
Okay, I was still manageable. Thrown in a cop car at age 15, definitely could have been.
You're like, is this your alter ego? Is this like a pseudonym, Christy? You can just tell the story on the air. You don't have to write it in.
Well, Katie writes, "Hi, ladies. First and foremost, I absolutely love you. Thank you for being a beacon of light and compassion in this current hellscape. Please keep doing what you do. I decided it's time to share my brush with true crime at 11 years old. Picture this. It's a beautiful late Friday afternoon in May of 1997, a picturesque little village in the Northeast. Our neighborhood consisted of one main street with a couple small intersecting side streets. I was standing in a neighbor's driveway with other kids, bike resting between my legs while we all decided what we were going to do for the rest of the evening. Would we have our parents order us pizza and get us some surge while we played shadows in the forest in our backyards? Possibilities were endless. Right then, my friend Megan approached me from her house on the side street. She grabbed me and told me she needed to talk to me and all but dragged me back to her house. I noticed a few guys apparently working on a for sale sign on her front lawn as she pulled me through the back door and locked it behind her. It was then that she dropped a bomb on me. Someone is trying to break into my house at the front door. I immediately switched into survival mode and screamed emphatically, "We have to get out of here!" and tried to run for the door. She wouldn't let me leave. Megan explained that she was home alone and she heard something at the window. She pulled up the blinds and came face to face with a man using a crowbar trying to pry her front window open. She immediately called her friend Elise, explained the situation, and Elise called the cops on Megan's behalf. While Elise called the police, Megan spotted me and ran outside to get me. For solidarity, I guess? Megan wanted me to stay with her in case someone did manage to break in. I wanted to live, so I begged her to come with me. She refused to leave, but let me go. I hugged her and wished her good luck and pedaled off on my bike to go back home. I was due to check in and knew my mom would be looking for me. Just as I was at the edge of her lawn, our Podunk County Sheriff pulled up, stopped me, and asked me if I knew anything about the 911 call that came in. I explained that someone tried to break into my friend's house. He wanted me to come with him and talk to him, but I looked in the direction of my house and told him I had to get home before I got in trouble. He then yelled at me to get in the cop car and proceeded to lock me in the back while he walked away toward the crime scene. Tears of anger and hopelessness filled my 11-year-old eyes. Had I just thrown my whole life away? Was I going to jail? How did my life go so horribly wrong in an instant? Moments later, Megan and some other kids came running up to the sheriff's car, with Smitty, the old sheriff, trailing behind them. They rallied and convinced him to let me out. Apparently, in the mix of communication between the 911 call, dispatch, and the sheriff, that SOB Smitty assumed I was the burglar, all 4'10" of me. By then, the actual suspects had fled. Smitty apprehended me and had me in custody until the kids explained he made a mistake. Never once did he apologize. But in that moment, I made it my personal mission to never find out what it's like to be in custody for real. As for the would-be burglars, there had been a few reports of break-ins around town. The police confirmed with the homeowner that nobody was supposed to be there doing any sort of maintenance or work around the house. Megan was able to give a description of each perp, and they were apprehended later that weekend when they broke into another house while another young girl was home alone. Well, I can laugh about being locked in a cop car now. I can safely say that's one of my top traumatic moments from my childhood. I also shudder to think if these men also had other nefarious intentions, breaking into houses with young adolescent girls home alone. I am truly grateful neither me nor my neighborhood friends ever had to find out. Now that the story is over, here is a picture of my one-eyed Siamese rescue cat, Mochi.
Oh, Mochi is so cute.
Mochi's perfect and beautiful.
But also, holy shit, yeah, that's weird that they were targeting another house with another kid that was home alone.
Very, may I say, perhaps not weirder than running back into a house that yes. you think is yes. being broken into. Yeah. Or with your friend locking yourself in the house that you think is being broken into.
You know what? She was trying to hold the fort down. But also, mm-hmm. maybe not. That's not as stupid as a sheriff picking up an 11-year-old going, dude, like, she's probably the burglar. Yeah. Like, she's a tiny child on a bike. No, she's not
Smitty
the burglar.
Smitty is the perfect name Sheriff for someone Smitty. Like that. Sheriff Smitty. And you know all the neighborhood kids called him Sheriff Shitty.
Yeah, they're the like, time. Smitty, more like Shitty, because that's what he does his job as. That is so eerie to think that you come face-to-face with somebody with the crowbar. It's not just even, oh, somebody was just peeking around. No, they're already in the act.
Yeah, they're trying. Happening. Man, when I would be home alone as a kid after school or something, this was one of my biggest fears. Like I told you, kidnapping, but like from a place my front yard was one of my ultimate fears. But also like someone trying to get in the house and I would run and never come back. But I obviously wasn't a ride or die like Megan, who was like, I'm going to protect our castle. This is a castle doctrine. I'm not leaving.
No, she's like, I'm not leaving. Not only that, I'm going to go get Katie. Katie's going to jump in. We're going to take these burglars ourselves. Meanwhile, Elise is on the phone, like
Elise
Garcia,
is involved too.
Like tech support. She's like, I'm calling it in. Like, what is happening? I love it.
That's the 11-year-old mind though, of like
surely.
Panic. And you go to your friends first because that 11-year-old girlhood 100%. Friendship is more strong than the cops.
Honestly, the way this makes me think of my growing up best friend, Marilla. Shout out. She listens. What's up, Marilla?
Hi, Marilla.
She's the best. And the recipient of our Ouija board at our original live show, at the Goatman live show. But we would do shenanigans like this because she would stay home by herself after school. And I would like go hang out, like ride my bike to her house. Cause I'm like, my loser parents are home, like telling me what to do. I'm gonna go hang out
there.
No,
hell no.
Yeah, if we heard someone like rapping at the window, we would be like, okay, like home alone. It like we got to get paint cans. What are we gonna do?
Nice. So
I see this, Katie. I love it.
Yeah, yeah. But the actual reality of the situation and how scary that was in hindsight. Let's all teach our 11-year-old daughters that if a man is trying to break in the house and they're home alone, just leave. You don't have to. No house is worth what might happen.
No, and the amount of times that I've recalled and thought about things that I did as a kid and went, God, I was a dumbass. I shouldn't have done that. So me saying, oh, I did that does not mean that if you're a child listening, first of all, uh-oh, but also don't do that. Just call the police and run away.
Don't do that.
Lock yourself in the bathroom.
Leave. Run outside.
Run away.
To your friends and
go to Katie's house. Yeah,
go to Katie's house.
You should have gone on the back of her bike. Let her pump you home.
I like though the sincerity of good luck.
Yeah,
like that last hug, and you're like,
you got this.
I hope I see you on the other side.
Yeah, God, you just leave. Yeah. Godspeed. But I want to live, so I'm gonna go. Thanks. Bye.
Same. Honestly, I would have been that person too.
It's time to leave for sure.
Honestly, I think I would have been the person who was like, fuck it, let's go get those burglars. And then I end up kidnapped, my worst fear. See, I brought it upon myself.
Full circle. It's a full circle situation.
Well, thank you so much, Katie, for sending that in.
Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
This next one is from Daisy, and it's called How Tarot and Some Shrooms Changed My Life.
Hey, me too. Small world.
Content warning, this story discusses suicide. Daisy writes, though I maybe would not have admitted it, a few years back, I was in a pretty rough spot. I've always been the independent sort, and I deal with things getting hard by shutting down and putting walls up between myself and the people around me. I'm a teacher, and at the time, I was teaching in an innovative public charter school where I'd spearheaded the development of a new department the year prior. Putting my head down and getting my job done was the easiest way to keep myself moving. I loved my work and my students, and so I became it. That summer, myself and a small team were preparing to open the doors of our high school for our rising freshmen. We were laying the foundation for something entirely new, building from the ground up, working tirelessly to create a place of stability, learning, and growth for the kids who are my whole heart. In many ways, I think I poured myself into that process because I felt like I had nothing else solid to stand on. It was in the weeks prior to opening our doors for the first day back that I met Daniel. He was a new hire, and admittedly, the first time I laid eyes on him, my internal monologue went something like, "What a fucking doofus." Our first interaction, he offered to make me tea. Soft-spoken, goofy, maybe a little pretentious, I didn't give him a second glance. In virtual therapy sessions, over wine I secreted away in mugs and pretended was tea, I'm just past 1 year sober now. I promised my therapist I would try to put myself out socially more because we agreed that doing nothing but working probably wasn't helping me reroute myself in a healthy way. I cheated and went to work happy hours and called that socialization. Week after week, I somehow ended up sitting next to Daniel, talking into the night. I can't say exactly how it happened, but one minute we were strangers and the next we were inseparable. We matched on Tinder, the coward's way, since neither of us was ready to admit feelings were involved, and that turned into one of our first solo ventures. He came to my house to read my tarot, something proudly boasted on his dating app bio. I made dinner, cooking skills proudly boasted on mine. And we may or may not have partaken in mushrooms, something that, even now, I try to pin the following life-altering experience to, but never quite completely can. His high hit early while he did my dishes, talking and listening to music. Mine hit later as we sat on my balcony and he laid out a full tarot spread. I'd never had my cards read before, had no idea what anything meant, but I was transfixed, wrapped in a blanket in the late summer air, watching him shuffle and place the cards face down beneath the flickering candlelight. He gave me the basic lay of the land, explaining that the center card he was about to turn over was the card that most represented me in that moment. He flipped it and went silent for what I now know was far too long. Finally, he asked if I knew the card. I didn't. "Is it good?" I asked, half joking. It was so not good that he made me turn off the music because the vibes had shifted intensely without me knowing. The tower, he explained. It means disaster. And in this spot, I clarified, that's me? Disaster, he confirmed. And I laughed because I knew I was, but it wasn't profound, not yet. He went on. It usually means something sudden and unexpected has happened, something that changed your understanding of the world and left your destruction in its wake. That's when my heart stopped. What Daniel didn't know, what no one knew, was that months earlier, I had lost my father to suicide. He had been my world, my safe place, person who understood me and loved me unconditionally, and that loss had shattered me. The moment he turned over the tower, I was back in the moment I got the call, feeling the ground collapse beneath me. Up until that moment, I'd been moving through grief in a way that felt almost mechanical, doing what I had to do to function, but not really confronting the weight of my loss. I was back at work, throwing myself into my responsibilities, trying to fill my days with purpose. But inside, I felt hollow. I had shut out the people who loved me, convinced myself that isolation was the only way to cope. My father's death had shattered everything I thought I knew about life, love, and stability, but I hadn't allowed myself to sit with that truth. I was existing, not living. And then, in the flickering candlelight on my balcony, the night air wrapping around me like a second skin, Daniel turned over the tower. I didn't know much about the card at the time, but I've learned a lot since. It is widely regarded as the, quote, worst card you can receive in a reading, but is also deeply misunderstood. It represents chaos, destruction, and upheaval. It always indicates a sudden and unexpected change that has resulted in disaster. In the original imagery, it is depicted by a tower struck by lightning and caught aflame, with people leaping from the windows in desperation. It is something once majestic toppled to its knees. But what it really represents is radical change. It's having your past beliefs and understanding of the world annihilated, and being forced to take yourself back to your roots and start again. I've often looked back on that moment as the first time I truly acknowledged the enormity of what had happened. Seeing that card, an external force reflecting my own ruin, was like standing in front of a mirror I couldn't look away from. It stripped away my ability to pretend I was fine, to believe that if I just kept moving forward, the past would fade into something easier to bear. The tower was not just a symbol of what I had been through. It was a call to face it, to reckon with the destruction, and eventually to find a way to rebuild. What made it even more uncanny was that Daniel had no idea. He was just reading the cards. There was no way he could have known that my world had already burned down, that I was still standing in the ashes, trying to convince myself that the smoke wasn't choking me. And yet, he read the card, looked at me, and knew that something inside me had broken. It wasn't just the meaning of the tower that resonated. It was the validation. For months, I had felt like I should be handling things better, like I should be able to pick up the pieces and move on. But the reading told me otherwise. It told me that what I was feeling was real, that the ground beneath me truly had crumbled, and that I wasn't just lost. I was in the process of transformation. It gave me permission to grieve, to acknowledge the destruction, and eventually to believe in the possibility of rebuilding. At that moment, I wasn't just another person stumbling through grief. I was the tower. But for the first time, I understood that even though the tower falls, something new can rise in its place. When Daniel turned over the tower, I was still buried in the rubble. But that moment reframed my perspective, because for the first time, I could see beyond the ruins. I could see my roots still beneath the surface, possibility of rebuilding. And I did rebuild. 3 years later, the school I poured myself into is nearing its completion. Our first graduating class will walk across the stage next year. I'm in my third year teaching freshmen at the school we built. And while we built our school, I rebuilt myself. As of last month, I'm officially a year sober. I walked away from all my vices one day in February of last year and never looked back. Daniel and I don't speak anymore. A complicated story in which we both carry blame. rooted ultimately in baggage that didn't go together. But I'll never forget the doofus who was a soft place for me to open my heart again. Slowly, I was able to let my friends and loved ones back in. And even slower, I found my way back to growing again. All because of a tarot reading on a late summer night. Now look, I'm not going to pretend that the profundity of this experience wasn't at least partially influenced by the fact that I was high out of my mind on shrooms. There's a very real possibility that had I been completely sober, I would have nodded politely, made some sarcastic joke about my life indeed being a disaster, and completely missed the weight of what was unfolding in front of me. But in that moment, cocooned in candlelight, wrapped in a blanket, with Daniel furrowing his brows like a man who had just been entrusted with delivering a prophecy, it felt like the universe had reached out, smacked me upside the head, and gone, "Hey, dumbass, pay attention." And whether it was the cosmos delivering a hard truth or just a chemically enhanced epiphany, I can't deny that it cracked something open in me that had been locked up tight for a long time. Daniel gave me a tower card necklace that I wore for a long time. I considered getting a tattoo of it, and maybe still will. But I don't think I need a tattoo to remember, not really. I know now better than most that disaster can lay the groundwork for something stronger than before, and that to begin to recover, you first have to be willing to crack through the safe barrier of the rubble and risk letting a little light shine through. Thanks for reading and for making a podcast that invites stories like these into the world. Love, Daisy.
What a wonderful moment that you had. And that moments like that, they stick with you. First of all, congratulations on 1 year sober.
Oh, yes.
Incredible.
Huge accomplishment.
But not something that journeys like that often begin with these like epiphany feeling moments where you're like, oh, it struck me in a way, like you said, perhaps if you had been in a different mindset or it was just a different card. So moments like that, I feel like they're the ones that we remember a lot and we like almost visit in our minds.
Yeah.
Like a turning point.
Beautifully written, by the way, Daisy.
Yes.
And I'm sure will resonate with a lot of people because, I mean, we've both lost our dads and you do mm-hmm. with any lost loved one, but especially to something like suicide or a tragic event.
Suddenly,
you do kind of like clam up to protect yourself mm-hmm. for a while. And that's okay. You just can't sit there.
Yeah.
And you saw that like, oh, I got to deal with what's going on or I'm never going to be able to rebuild and get past this. And I love your interpretation of the tower, too, that like beautiful things grow from rubble.
I just watched a Ring doorbell footage of a yard catching on fire nearby here. Actually, I think it was a mesquite. And somebody in the comments, and it was luckily they caught it. They grabbed the hose, but almost like half of somebody's yard, just like a tiny spark. I think a rock hit off of the lawnmower.
Gosh.
And it was just hot enough and the grass was dry enough. And you see them like everybody's jumping, trying to stomp on it and eventually burned about half of one yard and half of the next door yard. And they got it under control. But someone said, that's going to be the greenest part of grass next
mm-hmm.
year. Because there's something about that, about the volcanic ash. Yeah, it makes like the most, like the juiciest soil.
Yeah.
And you know, it's not
the
like
rebirth.
You want to do it. Yeah, you don't want to do it. But I read tarot for my friends in high school. And I do remember one of them, I pulled the tower card and they were like, well, what does this mean? And I was like, ruin, not good. And the rest of the time they go, ruin. And of course you kind of explain, you know what? But when you're 15, then if the next time you drop your books, you're like, ruin.
Yeah.
So we would just or yell, ruin.
Somebody breaks up with you.
Yes,
your crush like, doesn't ruin. Look at you in history class and you're like, what? The tower. It's prophecies come true.
Yes, the prophecy. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I think that your story, thank you for being vulnerable and sharing this with us, Daisy. But that line of what Daniel didn't know and what nobody knew is
yeah.
that I lost my dad and it crushed me. And I think that is a reason for all of us to maybe add a little compassion to our lives of like, this lady at work didn't talk to anybody. Well,
yeah.
maybe there's a reason, you know, and you don't, you're not close enough to her, you know, to even have any idea that she is suffering, struggling so hard. And somebody being friendly in a training, you know, can mm-hmm. open a door that this sweet doofus, you know, and I think
sweet
too,
tea making doofus.
This is tea making doofus. But I think there are people also that are meant to be in your lives for a time, for a purpose.
Yeah.
And it sounds like the two of you came upon each other at that time.
Absolutely.
Sinister Hood will be right back.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I always like to remind myself that everybody's fighting their own battle.
Mm-hmm.
None of us are special in that way. So it helps to remind myself of that, to have compassion and empathy when I'm not feeling compassionate or like I want to give a lot of empathy. But truly, when I taught improv and there was a day in the level 4, which is what I taught, we had to do this exercise where, because the whole level was about vulnerability and emotions, where you had to kind of confront either yourself or someone from your past about something that's been on your heart. Man, how many years did I teach improv? I don't know, 8 to 10. Not one person didn't have a story that brought everybody to tears or that made everyone realize, like, fuck. Yeah, I had that same thing happen in my childhood, you know? Mm-hmm. So we're all walking around carrying baggage, and we're a lot more similar than we are not alike.
Truly. And I think you're right, like in vulnerable moments like that. And I remember going through that level 4 at a different teacher, Lindsay, who also listens. But when I remember going through that, when each of us shared something, it like, oh, it's like a mm-hmm. lot. You're holding a flashlight on if the person's life is a room and you know them, flashlight them out. It's like they flipped a switch on and you just go, oh, there's way more here than I ever could have considered.
Mm-hmm.
And that explains why they're sensitive about that, or that explains why they never do that. So a lot of the Zen Lojong training, it's like a separate thing, is like radical compassion and like mm-hmm. different ways to figure out how to change your worldview. Because once you do that, you know, if people aren't necessarily going to sit down with you with a tarot session or go through improv class with you, but people do reveal themselves in little tiny ways mm-hmm. if only you listen. And those are often the ways that you kind of can go, oh, this coworker that I fucking hate, now that I've learned that it's because she has to go home every night and her mom has horrific dementia and that she's the sole caregiver, that's why she's like that. Now I know to be kinder and not mm-hmm. make these, you know, whatever. So you just never know.
You don't. And that's why give people the benefit of the doubt. And even if maybe they don't reveal stuff, you know, asking someone, how are you doing? Like, how often do you really ask someone that? Mm-hmm. When was the last time you were asked, how are you doing?
Yeah, like really, how's it going? By somebody
I can't even
like
think
that.
Of the last time I've been asked.
Well, I like to think I ask you, and
you
just
do.
No,
yeah,
but I mean,
but
like
we
strangers.
Also, I'm like, I'm fine from yesterday when you
no,
saw
yeah,
me.
From like 12 hours ago, when we and in like 3 more hours when we hang out again. But no, I hear you, and I think like especially when it's of relationships, almost like a coworker that we take for not me mm-hmm. and you coworker, but I'm talking about Daisy or like others. When you're like a coworker and you're like, oh yeah, how's it going? Hey, did you see that mm-hmm. show? And everything is kind of surface level. But when you do notice about somebody that's like withdrawn or whatever, you might just be that one glimmer that just gives them somebody to, you know, open up to, or to realize, oh fuck, this shit is burning down.
Yeah.
Like I gotta do something. So yeah.
I have so many stories that I still remember over the years of what students told me, students that stayed after class and we just like cried together one-on-one.
Yeah.
I still have a woman that I'm friends with that every couple years will message me and be like, you helped me with the trauma of my mom in a way that no one else has. And I'm like, I mean, we're just teaching improv, but like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like giving people the space to like process something that maybe they never had before is very, very powerful.
Absolutely.
Which hopefully this show does too.
Yeah, I think that's what I've appreciated Daisy saying, like inviting stories like this into the world. And insofar as Daisy, you talk about mushrooms, I joked about at the beginning, but truly, when we did this mushroom trip throughout it, I had, and I was just writing about it the other day, and I was like, I'm going to get a piece out and send it on my newsletter because I really have, I took a lot from it and I wrote stuff contemporaneous during it. I had my hands were stained with ink because I was gripping my pen as I was like tripping on mushrooms. But, and then I wrote afterwards and then I've written about it several times. Kind of want to put them all in one piece. But what I, my message I got from myself, from my spirit guides, from whatever, was just like, you don't need this. Like, you don't need the mushrooms. Like, because I kept being like, I wanted to be close to you. And it was just like, a voice just kept being like, you can have this absent any substance. And mm-hmm. It is being present. It is being, taking a moment, like just walking today. You know, I went on a like walk after my run and I was like, no headphones. And mm-hmm. like that feeling where I was just like, my neighbors, I literally was like, the neighbors are going to call the police because they're like, there's a woman that must be tripping balls. Because I was just looking up at trees and looking
like
at
your first day on earth.
It was. And then I saw, that's exactly what it looked like. I looked like I was Mork from Mork and Mindy.
Yeah.
Going, look at like, that.
What are these tall things with all this green stuff at the top?
I saw a huge lizard in a tree and I just stopped and had my hands on my hip. And I was just looking up at that lizard going, damn, that's a big lizard. I didn't say that out loud. And then I kept walking and I saw bees and I saw on TikTok, a woman said, bees are the door to the spirit world. And then if you want to get it out, tell a message to the bees. So I got very quiet and I told the bees, listen, there are some people that need to be handled and I need nature to handle it. And me and the bees had a commune there.
I never heard that.
Someone said, if you need to get a message out, whisper it to the bees and the bees will, because they're like pollinators and they go all around.
That's true. Well, and bees are integral to everything about the cycle of life and nature and everything. So I have an affinity for bees.
That's
now
I'm like,
even more so. I got to go find myself a bee and sit down with it.
I was like, thank you for what you're doing. Sorry to bother you. Meanwhile, the person inside on their Ring doorbell is like, there's a woman bent over talking to my bush in the front yard.
Whispering and I'm like, to my bush.
Why do you need to take mushrooms when you can just be like me and wander around like you're on them already?
I remember having the saying over and over during that same experience of we're all one, we're mm-hmm. all the same thing, and like kind of floating through space, the universe. And my repeated voice was just like, we're all from the same stuff, we're all one thing.
Yeah,
dude, just over and over.
It's funny you said that. I don't know what I don't know which of my my littler niece doesn't like too much existential stuff. It can kind of make her nervous. Like if you go like, the sun's going to explode someday. Well, she's like, but like when?
Hard relate.
Yeah. And my older niece is like, loves like any type of space and can talk about billions of years. It doesn't upset her. And I said, yeah, did you know that the iron in our blood is from space rocks, millions of years old, and the calcium in our teeth. And my older niece goes, shh, 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 shh. No, 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 no. No, no, no. And I said, what? And then she just pointed at her little niece and went, my other niece, and went, she doesn't. She doesn't. And then my little niece looked at me and goes, I don't like to talk about things like that. And I went, okay, all right. I said, my bad. And I'm like, I'll listen. But it was so cute that she protected her.
That is very sweet.
Regardless, my love, my darling love, someday perhaps you'll listen to this. I know you don't want to talk about it now, but the truth of the matter is, you're right. We are made of the same stardust as each other.
And our teeth are made of crustaceans.
Yeah, from the shells in the ocean. So.
Sorry, Sid. You got to learn to
love you. Sorry,
maybe
baby
you'll
girl.
Learn it in science one day.
Yeah, you will. Well, thank you, Daisy, for this.
Yeah,
bringing this
thank
shroom
you so much.
Memory back to the forefront.
Absolutely. Well, this next one is from Megan, and
hell
in
yeah.
parentheses it says pause for boys to men lyric. So into the road.
Although we've come to the end of the road, still I can't let you go. Ooh, ooh, ooh. It's the natural. Ooh, ooh. You belong to me. Ooh, ooh. I belong to ooh, you. Ooh.
We will not get a copyright strike because they won't recognize that.
Nope, I wasn't in tune. So don't sue me, boys to men, any of you.
Man.
The way I played that song on repeat in middle school, man,
that
I wore
record.
That tape out.
Yeah, dude, over and over again.
Well, Megan writes, hello, lovelies. I love your show and have so many stories I want to submit. Today's was inspired from the many Freaky Friday parent prank stories. I don't have a dad, so I spent most of my time, my mom was at work, at my grandparents' house. My mom's youngest two siblings were still at home, so it was like having an older brother and sister. They treat me more like a little sister than a niece, so the feeling must be mutual. I have a sense of humor that has often been termed, quote, fucked up. I blame my Uncle John, name not changed because he knows what he did and he is not innocent. My Uncle John was always pranking me, telling me I'm a test tube baby, trying to convince me to eat dirt, putting my picture next to the word gullible in the dictionary, etc. I must be a masochist because he's still my favorite family member. When we went on a family trip up to northern Arizona, we had to take several cars. When I heard John was driving, I excitedly begged to ride with him. "Are you sure?" my mom asked me doubtfully. "You'll be in the car with him for at least 2 hours, and if you change your mind, you'll be stuck." "I'm sure," was my naive reply. Well, it was just Uncle John and me in his super cool two-seater car. He was 17 or 18, so I was about 7 or 8. And getting to ride in my high school football-playing uncle's car in the front seat like a grown-up was the highlight of my life. He started telling me while he drove all about how tough life was for him right then and how depressed he was. My 7-year-old self said what I could do to help him feel better because my favorite uncle being sad made my heart hurt. About an hour or so into the drive up the mountain, there was a hill that had such a sharp downhill slant that it looked like a cliff. My uncle knew this. I did not. As we were going uphill, he looked at me and said, "The road ends here, but don't worry, Maggie. You've been a good girl. You'll go to heaven." He patted me on the knee, then stomped on the gas. We were halfway down the other side, me screaming at him not to kill us and him laughing hysterically before I realized the road had not in fact ended. After I punched him in the arm several times, in hindsight, it probably felt like a fly landing on his arm, I started laughing too. I remember just being impressed at his setup and commitment to the bit. I rode home with my mom, though, and she never even said, "I told you so," which is pretty badass. Thanks for reading. If you'd like to hear the story about why my mom won't answer calls from me on April 1st, I'd be happy to share. I blame Uncle John for that one, too. Much love, Megan.
Oh, Megan.
Oh, man. Uncle John.
I welcome any prank calls, any write-ins about pranks or pranks gone wrong anytime. But, oh, my gosh. The road has ended, Maggie.
I also appreciate the commitment because that had to have been something he came up with prior to the ride or very quickly and was just for an hour laying the groundwork for that. just go off.
You got to be like, I got to make her think that I really would drive us off a cliff. It's like, things are rough, Maggie. I'm thinking about just next time I see a cliff. That is wild. To pat her on the knee, though, and be like, "You'll go to heaven. Don't worry about it." Wait, what? I didn't even think about that.
But you know what? Those types of people do become your favorite family members.
Right?
And also shape your sense of humor a lot.
Exactly. You're like, I have a fucked up sense of humor. I can think maybe why.
I wonder why.
Much like we were saying earlier, you know, somebody has a whole life of them that you have no idea. You're like, Megan's got a real fucked up sense of humor. You're like, yeah, well, her uncle told her he was going to kill her whenever she was little. And in fact, took steps toward making
her think
it was happening.
They were going on a family vacation and she thought she wasn't even going to make it there.
Not even to the location.
But that is such a true feeling of you're like 7 or 8 and your cousin who is like a cool high schooler on the football team, like you get to ride in their car. How grown and special do you feel?
You're like, oh, I made it. I'm with the cool kids now. And yeah, you have those like older cousins or uncles or whatever that like, my Uncle Jerry was always like a prankster, would mess with us or whatever. He never once threatened to kill me. I don't think so. But honestly, if we would have got on a mountainside, I would not have put it past him.
Perhaps.
But certainly a lot of like teasing as a kid or hiding stuff or whatever. And that was, then of course he became my favorite uncle because it's just the one that you're always joking around with. And so I love that you have that special relationship. I definitely want to hear what Uncle John did or said to make you have your mom not answer the phone on
I love that it's
April
like,
1st.
What if April 1st comes and you're like, there's an emergency.
I really did, Mom.
And you really have to get in touch with your mom. And she's like, I will not be answering the phone from you today. So you're like, well, I'm going into labor. So could you pick up? She's like, I'll talk to you on April 2nd.
Yeah, I'll meet the baby tomorrow, but not today. I'm not falling for it, Meg. Sorry. Well, we appreciate you, Megan. Sinisterhood will be right back.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Well, so begins my theme. I'm excited.
Ooh.
The theme yes. begins. Well, it's this first one's from Charlotte, and the subject line is manifesting lost objects. Listening to your most recent Freaky Friday episode and the story of the sadly lost necklace made me immediately need to write in. I had an opal ring. It was in a delicate silver setting with a small stone. I bought it secondhand, trawling a random market at an absolute bargain around 20 pounds. I wore this ring everywhere. Nearly 2 years ago, I was on holiday. When we got back to the hotel, I went to take off my ring before my shower when I looked at my hand and realized the stone had fallen out of my ring. My heart sank. I checked everywhere, the pockets of that day's outfit, my partner's pockets, why it would be there, I don't know, but I was desperate. The bag I used that day, my purse, and the whole hotel room. But it was lost. I carefully put the setting away in my purse and hoped one day the stone would turn up. Knowing maybe it never would. Well, over a year later, I went away with my mom to India, and we discussed jewelry as we were going to Jaipur the next day, and I was hoping to find a replacement ring, lamenting that I would never find a ring like that so cheap again. As we chatted, I tipped out my backpack onto the bed, ready to move things not needed to my suitcase. When what bounced out? My opal. I've never been so shocked to see a lost object. I had used that backpack frequently over that last year. It had been tipped out and packed away after every use, and not once had anything fallen out. I placed the stone safely in my purse and got it reset once home. This is my very long way of saying sometimes the things we've lost can be manifested and turn up when we least expect. Thanks, guys, for all you do. I'm excited every time I see a new episode. I appreciate the level of care and understanding you bring to all your stories.
Well, thank you, Charlotte. And hell, that's yeah. wild.
Amazing. Especially I it's love not that, like, because here's the thing. I find treasures in my backpacks, but it's because I use them for a trip, take out whatever I need and just leave stuff in there and then stuff it in my closet. And then the next time I need them, then I'm like, oh my God, there's extra tampons in here or whatever. It's never as exciting as something like this. Yeah. But if you're like, I got back from the trip, I cleaned my backpack out, it wasn't in there, you use it five more times, and then you're in a literal other country and there it is on the bed.
And you are talking about how that. You want to go shopping and try to find a ring similar to it.
You're like, I will replace it. And the opal's like, I've been here the whole time.
I'm right here, bitch.
Don't replace me.
When shit like that happens, it's...
You know what I do?
I mean, we'll continue with the theme. And then I'll say what I was going to say.
What's your theory? I was going to say, I will say when shit like this does happen, I just look up and go... Thank you.
Oh, whoever, I say thank you, like, universe.
I'm always like, to my left, I'm like, whoever did that, thank you. It's the same when I go somewhere and a parking spot opens up for me, like right at the front. I'm like, thank you. I noticed that and I appreciate you. Please do it again.
I just go, thank you, universe, every time something like this happens. There's something to it. Like, why just then?
It just shows up.
Did you find that, you know?
Energy, power, who knows? Well, this next one is from Maria. And the subject line is, the void returned my earrings 10 years later. Hello, friends. I love the show. I love you, ladies, but I'm in a hurry. I'm actually in the middle of making lasagna, and I was listening to the episode where a listener lost her necklace and could not find it. I literally paused in the making of my meal to write. That is how urgently I must share my story. In 2008, I bought a necklace on Etsy, and the seller sweetly included a free pair of earrings. The earrings are nothing special, soft, kind of white glass. They go with everything, and I wore them a lot. One day in 2015, I went to my earring rack, and only one earring was there. I searched everywhere. I retraced my steps from the day before. I looked on the floor, down the heater vents, under the beds, through the laundry, everywhere. Finally, I gave up, but I held on to the remaining earring, assuming it would show up. A couple years later, we were getting ready to move from Wyoming to New Mexico, and I used the opportunity to search once again. Still, no dice. We moved two states away, and I mostly gave up hope. Occasionally, I would come across the remaining earring and think I had found the missing one, only to realize that it was just the same earring. That brings us to this January of 2025. I'd been holding on to this single earring for 10 years. I came across it again and decided that I had 2 weeks to find the missing earring, or I would repurpose the remaining earring into a necklace or something. Reminder that we had moved into a new home hundreds of miles away, and 6 years had passed in this new home. I had little hope, but I did a search and found nothing. Still, I decided to wait the 2 weeks. On the 14th day, my husband came in out of the garage with the glass earring.
"Is this yours?"
he asked me. "Yeah, I've been looking for its mate for a decade," I said.
"Well, why'd you put it in the toolbox?"
he asked. I froze. I must have looked insane as I did not respond. Instead, I ran to my earring rack, and there was the other earring. I had the pair back. My husband and I had both used that toolbox countless times over the past decade. That earring was not in there. Now, I know you're wondering, and the place where I keep my earrings is nowhere near the toolbox. In both places we lived, the toolbox was in the garage. My earrings were in our bedroom on the opposite end of the house. I was not near the toolbox the day my earring disappeared either. I have no explanation. Now, my pair is reunited and back in heavy rotation. So, what do you guys think? Why did my earring disappear into the void? And why was it returned?
Again,
what the fuck?
What is happening?
In a
the
new
toolbox
house?
After 6 years
in another state,
thousands of miles away.
That's so far and
wild.
So much. Yeah, and the wild thing. 14 days.
The last day that you were like, after this, almost as if the universe was like, you've waited long enough, and you know what? You gave yourself a time frame, and we're gonna abide by that. So here you are. You're being rewarded for your patience.
Remaining earring is like, come back. She's going to destroy me and turn me into a necklace. Please come back.
I have so many one earrings that
Dude.
I don't know where their mates are. And I also hold on to them because some of them are some like favorite ones from decades ago.
Well, you know, as soon as you
where
get
am
rid
I
going to
find
too.
It? I don't know. Yes. Maybe I should go check the toolbox. Maybe they're all in there.
Maybe you said it like be like by the end of the month, if I don't find y'all's mates, y'all are going. And you got to mean it, though.
Yeah,
I think that's the key is you got to really mean it. But the frustrating thing would be is if you get rid of the earrings and then you go and you're like, hey, is this an earring in your toolbox? You're like, son of a bitch, I just threw them away.
Dude, that would have been.
Man, Maria.
That would have been something, some kind of joke from the universe if that had happened.
It really is. I think, I love Maria that you're like mid-lasagna, like, nope, put the sauce down. I got to call him. I got to tell him.
They're like, but dinner. And you're like, you don't understand. This is an emergency. The noodles can wait.
You won't starve. It's fine. Well, thank you, Maria. Sinisterhood will be right back.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Laura has got this final one for us.
Mm-hmm.
Laura's subject line is, my version of the missing necklace from Freaky Friday 154, gaslit by a ceramic rabbit. I felt the mystery around the necklace that fell behind the nightstand deep within my soul. I'm Laura. Your podcast is fantastic. My friend Jessica suggested it, and I've been simultaneously listening to your older episodes and new releases to catch up and stay current. Heather is married and unmarried at the same time. I'm not sure how many kids or pets Christy has at any point. It's pre-2020 and post-election at the same time. Wild. Here is my story, and it is so stupid, though my guts twist every time I think about it. In third grade, my whole class painted these ceramic rabbits. They were about 4 to 6 inches tall, and I painted mine white with brown spots. I was incredibly proud of the work I'd done on this rabbit, brought it home, and prominently sat it on my dresser next to the smaller wooden rabbit that I had painted in second grade. One morning, I woke up and looked at my dresser. The spotted ceramic rabbit was gone. I checked behind my dresser because it might have fallen down. It hadn't, and all my other random animal trinkets and little glass figurines were accounted for. 90s bears, precious moments people, little glass cats, red rose tea figurines, etc. My mother loved to clean and hates clutter, and I would not have been surprised if she had thrown it out or donated it. I asked her. She said she didn't remember seeing it on my dresser. She told me to ask my brother. His lack of interest in my questioning pretty much answered that. He hadn't seen it. My father just said he didn't know what was in my room. I continued to look for it, but I did feel in my gut that I was being gaslit by my mother. About monthly, I continued to ask about it. I made sure that everyone knew that I would not be upset if something had happened to it, but the fact that it had just vanished was really starting to trip me up. I looked all over my room, no sign of broken ceramics. After a few years, I simmered down on the questioning, but I was probably still inquiring about it quarterly. My mom just eventually said she didn't even remember if I had a ceramic rabbit. My dad usually would just roll his eyes and say he had never seen it. My friends all had ceramic rabbits at their houses. I know I had a ceramic rabbit. I'm 37 now. About 13 years ago, my dad got pancreatic cancer and was at the end of his life. We'd had a few really deep heart-to-hearts, and I had to ask. He couldn't die without telling me the truth. So I asked, did mom throw out that ceramic rabbit? It has made me feel insane for years. He said, no, I really don't think so. I don't believe he died having taken mom's ceramic rabbit cruelty to the grave. My mom swears up and down that she didn't get rid of that rabbit. To make matters worse, I'm now not even 100% sure that it even existed. It was real, right? It didn't just vanish, right? My mom isn't gaslighting me about this, right? I can't stop thinking about this. Anyway, I got rid of most of my trinkets from my childhood dresser. But at Easter every year, I take out my wooden rabbit that I painted in second grade to display, and I relive the mystery of the ceramic rabbit that will probably haunt my lifetime. If this submission airs, I'm going to play this episode for my mother, and hopefully the guilt of public gaslighting accusations will force a confession out of her. Either that, or she'll just laugh at me like she usually does whenever I bring this situation up now as a 37-year-old mom of three who almost certainly would discard my kid's artwork and then try to make him believe that they never had it to begin with, because you really just can't keep it all. Although, I would never get rid of their painted ceramic artwork. I'm no monster, geez. Love the pod. Thanks for your hard work, Laura.
Laura,
dude,
I want you to know that I have spent a ton of time thinking about this.
Right?
And my strongest theory, well, first of all, I would like to say, one, sorry about the loss of your father, but two, let's normalize asking the questions we really want to ask on someone's deathbed.
Fuck like, yeah.
When we were kids, you're the one that took that rabbit, right? Like, you got to know before like, they
go. Hey, man, you don't have much time, okay? I love you.
Can you please tell me?
When my dad was in the hospital, there were, like, I got to sit with him and, like, talk about things that both the big picture questions about, like, death and dying, but also, like, do you remember that? That was mm-hmm. crazy, wasn't it? You know, it's like you said, normalize not a time to be like, well, we all have to be very quiet. It's like, hey, what do you want to talk about?
Yeah, and you're like, do you remember that $5 you owe me from that bet? And you never paid it?
Do you remember when mom snuck into my room and smashed her? No, what do you, what's your rabbit theory? I want your theory.
Well, it's not exciting, but I think it might be the most
likely.
I know you didn't find fragments of a broken ceramic. What I think, and Laura's mom, if you're listening, which you probably are, you're probably being forced to.
First of all, nice to meet you. How's it going?
Hi, hello. Is it possible, mom, that you did go in to clean and maybe you knocked it off and it broke and you were really worried that Laura was going to be upset about it? So you just cleaned it up and got rid of it and hoped maybe she wouldn't notice. And she did. And then you had to just blame everyone else because you couldn't tell the truth.
It wasn't me. The one thing that really gets my goat about this, that gets my rabbit about this, is that one morning I woke up and looked at my dresser. The ceramic rabbit was gone. So it was stolen in the night. Like, what happened overnight to lose, like, one morning? Not I came home from school and it was gone, in which case I was like, that leaves anybody. But the fact that one morning I woke up, looked at my dresser, and the spotted ceramic rabbit was gone, of like, who stole it in the night?
Well, I was thinking maybe that just meant she noticed then, because she said, maybe, my mom likes to clean,
so
and maybe
true.
She threw it out. But if it did happen in the night, then my answer changes to it was turned into a real rabbit and it hopped away.
But you did such a good job painting it that it looked so real. No, that's a good point. Maybe it was just like, wait a minute, how long has it not been there?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to guess, as a sibling, that your brother did take it to
I
play with
that
it.
I thought
that too. And knocked it and broke it and didn't tell anybody, much less your mom. Or anybody that could rat him out. And then when you're like asking about it, he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Get out of here, whatever. So either of those would be my guess. I think you're right. Is more likely either that or a person hit the window with a crowbar, much like happened in the first story, and snuck in. That's all they took because it was so well painted.
So valuable.
You did such a good job.
Or wooden rabbit was like, there's only room on this dresser for one rabbit. I'll be goddamned if a ceramic one's about to come in here.
You're not paying any attention, and the little wooden elbow is just like, bonk, and it just elbows it off.
I think the brother could also be a very likely scenario, although maybe he took it, not broke it. Maybe he took it and then accidentally broke it, because I think if he broke it in the room,
yeah,
I feel like a teenage brother wouldn't do as good of a job of cleaning it up as like a worried mom. But my guesses are your mom or brother had something to do with it. And if your mom swears up and down she doesn't, then we're going to believe her. And now you got to go interrogate your brother.
Yeah. And if your mom swears up and down, either I don't remember or like, no, or at least I don't think so. I don't remember. I think you need to go into regression therapy and have it, hypnosis.
Yeah.
We need to get deep into this because we need to fucking know.
You got to be hypnotized.
You got mom. I'm sorry, Ma. You got to go under hypnosis.
We're all invested at this point. So we got to know what happened to it.
We need to know. But meanwhile, I feel like, Laura, you can maybe, if you paint a new one,
ooh,
and then it can like, or like inverse, like a brown with white spots, and then be like, I'm calling to you, other
one.
It'll appear in a toolbox 3 states away, 6 months later, 6 years later.
You I might was going to say, yeah, you might have to wait a while. Give yourself 2 weeks to find this rabbit, and maybe on the 14th day, it appears.
Or somebody cracks.
Or
and tells you that
your
they
mom
did it.
Is like, speaking of cracks, I cracked that rabbit, and I'm
cracks,
really sorry about it.
There were so many that it could not be glued back together, and I have very bad news for you. I mean, I get it. As a parent, sometimes it's like,
there's so much artwork. There's so much artwork and crafts.
Something like that. It's like,
ceramics
freak
are
out.
Different, though.
Yeah, yeah. I did see, man, y'all, Ella painted something in the kids' room. I was, or the front room, like with all the toys, or the like toy room. I was like, what a lovely ceramic. She was like, I painted that.
The dinosaurs?
Like, yes.
Yes, we have a display of ceramic dinosaurs.
They're like
that
on shelves. Like, I was like, what a lovely dinosaur. She's like, I did that one. Because there is something to that, like when it's like a physical piece that you made versus like a, you know, non-3D printed thing, you know, just something you drew. But well, I hope you find a rabbit stand-in for this Easter. And if not, the actual rabbit
I hope be you find the on OG. Your
table. Yeah, the original one on Easter and put it on the table as you eat your ham.
I don't think you imagined it.
No.
To have like that clear of a memory of it and you know that you did it because all your friends have it. I don't think you imagined it.
No, certainly not. I think the proof is in the ceramic, similar rabbits at other friends' houses for sure. Mm-hmm. But dang, that's such a feeling though where everyone's like, I don't know, Laura, you're crazy. And you're like, am I?
This would drive me reality. Insane as well. Also something I would ask somebody on their deathbed because I wouldn't be able to let it go.
I'd be like, this is my last chance. I want you to know I love you so much. You're a great dad, but also, what's up with that rabbit, though?
Where is the rabbit? You have to tell me. I can't get it out of my brain. And I'm sure Easter's probably a real triggering time for you, and we're coming up on it. So I hope this baby. Is the year you get it back.
Please keep us updated if you get a replacement or if the original one shows up. But I liked my theme there is the finding of lost objects.
The finding of lost objects, but also, I wanted Laura to have hope from Maria and Charlotte that sometimes if you just believe hard enough, it will return. And maybe it's because you gave yourself a deadline. Maybe it's just because that's when you needed it the most. But
you were waiting.
I hope you either get the rabbit or a confession. One of those two things.
Around the Easter table, it's like,
yeah,
I'm the one that smashed it, but here's a fresh one and I painted it myself.
At least at this point, wouldn't you feel so relieved to know you weren't crazy? Like, and to be a kid and be like, by the way, family, I won't be upset if something happened. I just want to know where it is. It's so sad and mature.
It is like so sad for a kid to be like, can you just tell me the truth? I promise I won't be
pissed. Bam. Well, now this is the year. This is the Easter year that you're going to find out.
This is the year. Tell us. Let us know what happens. Thank you for Laura for sharing your story and for Maria and Charlotte for letting Laura know there's hope and for letting other people know when they lost shit. Maybe it'll come back out like that onion or that got lost or the other earrings we've heard of.
There's so many. Well, thank you to everyone that sent in your stories today. We had a lineup of great ones as always. If you have an odd but true story, maybe you've encountered Bigfoot, you've seen a UFO, you had a brush with true crime, or you've felt the presence of an otherworldly being, send them in at sinisterhood.com/freakyfriday. Speaking of freaky, got something creepy caught on camera? Found a weird or unexplainable clip online? Maybe you just have a funny video you need us to see. Send it our way and we'll live react to it during Sunday Scaries, our weekly live stream over on Patreon every Sunday at 8:30 p.m. Central.
And don't worry, it's still free. It's on the free tier. You just have to put your email in. It takes as much to sign up for that as it would for YouTube. And you can not only chat with us, but you can send pictures in the chat so we can see all your pet pictures. And you can also just hear us scream directly loudly as we react to a ghoul on screen that scared the shit out of us, this most recent one.
I got some intel later in the night.
The
vetting process.
Oh, shit. What is it? We need to talk about it off air?
They split them between the two of them.
Oh, so my husband's probably the reason why that got through the cracks. Because I haven't seen that one, I don't think.
I have seen that one. I knew it was coming and it still scared the shit out of me.
I've seen like several by those people, like the producers of that. It's like a husband and wife and they're good, but they're like that. Like it's 5 minutes long and the end of it's like.
Tommy said he had to turn down about 5 other ones that were jump scares.
Oh shit. Well, no more jump scares, guys, because we use different microphones that pin to our shirt and Christy likes to cover her face down and scream directly into the microphone.
My children were asleep and I just screamed as loud as I possibly could have. But those videos you can send us at sinisterhood.com/scaries.
And watch the replays on Patreon for free.
If you like our free episodes, you'll love our Patreon bonus content. You can join for free to see what we're up to next or dive into over 1,000 hours of bonus content, such as Judge Christie, where I rule on petty grievances you bring before the court, True Crime Headlines, where we break down the latest news and updates in true crime, Heather Saves, where anything Heather has found late night scrolling could be discussed, and Am I the Asshole, Unpopular Opinions, and other subreddits that we feel require our input.
And we got two new ones coming out for you all. We've got a Dear Sinister, where we give advice on questions about careers, relationships, interpersonal conflicts.
From listeners.
From listeners that they write in, as well as not Reddit unpopular opinions, but your unpopular opinions, whatever, gets you fired up. So thank you all for sending those
in. There's some controversial ones, too.
Oh, they are indeed. Well, we also offer free trials. You can join for a week at any tier, check out the perks, cancel anytime before the trial is over without getting charged. If you do select to stay on, choose that annual membership. You get 1 month free, baby. When you do join, you get a litany of things. What's the list?
Oh, my goodness. Ad-free episodes, monthly live stream Q&As on the third Thursday of every month, quarterly live bonus content, weekly audio bonus content, mini-sodes, merch discounts, and community of the best listeners on the whole world wide web.
I guarantee it.
I guarantee it. What was that from?
The Men's Warehouse.
That's right. Okay.
Well, head over to sinisterhead.com and click shop on the top banner to get all the suits you need. Men's Warehouse. I'm just kidding. You get merch like t-shirts.
What if we started selling suits?
Just like Sinisterhead ties, baby. It's just our faces on it. It looks like we're trying to crawl out of the tie. But no ties just yet. You can get t-shirts, mugs, totes, stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos. Use those Patreon merch discounts in the pinned post.
Mm-hmm. While you're on our website, you can review the show. Thank you so much to everyone that leaves us kind reviews. You can submit topics and cases you'd like us to cover, and you'll find fun things like topic-based playlists. But most importantly, you'll find tickets for Crime Wave at C 2025. Every day gets us one day closer to November 3rd through 7th.
Take me away. I cannot wait to be aboard a beautiful big ass ship as we go through the Bermuda Triangle. Not just us, but we're going to be with Scared to Death, True Crime Campfire, Ed and Henry from last podcast. And we are going to be performing all the podcasts. We're also going to have fun events and activities and all the fun stuff that you do on a cruise ship. Like, look out into the darkness and have that existential dread. Yeah. We're all going to have it, and we can't wait to share it as we just barrel toward the Bermuda Triangle. CrimeWaveAtSea.com/sinister to get that fan code, and we'll see you on the high seas November 3rd through 7th.
It's going to be a ton of fun. There's a lot of fan meetups and, you know, other stuff where you're going to be able to meet like-minded people. So I see this as an opportunity to not only go on vacation with us, because that's, you know, not something we do all the time. We've never gone on vacation with listeners before, but also to find your new bestie.
New besties. And like, we will be there, not to mention all the kinds of big ass water slides, which I'm also excited about.
There's water slides. There's pools, there's shuffleboard. There's more food than you could possibly imagine that you get to just eat as much as you want of.
Fuck yes, let's do it. Thanks everybody who signed up so far, who everybody's got their cabin so far. Tickets are limited. Get yours before they sell out. CrimeWaveAtSea.com/sinister. And you can follow us over on Threads and Instagram at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood, and follow us on TikTok at Sinisterhood Podcast.
Meant to put YouTube, sorry. And follow YouTube.
On TikTok and YouTube at Sinisterhood Podcast to watch clips from episodes, live streams, and more. We love to go live on the porch on YouTube. We love to go live from haunted locations on TikTok.
Yeah.
And we've got a haunted location coming up in June. So make sure you're following along.
I'm excited. We're finally getting to do a haunted mansion, like a one locale. Also, I've never been to Vermont, and I'm very much looking forward to it.
Totally stoked. We can't wait. Now, if you're looking for a unique and personal gift for the Sinisterhood fan in your life, or maybe you just want to hear from us at directly talking to you, you could get a pep talk, some advice for us, anything like that. You can book it through Cameo. We can wish happy birthday, a birth announcement, congratulations, graduation, Mother's Day, Father's Day, all kinds of things coming up. We will create a customized video message that can be immediately viewed and sent. It's a thoughtful, unique gift that you know they don't already have. Even if they have a Cameo from us, they're different every time. And it's something you can order from the comfort of your own couch, bed, toilet. No one would know.
Laura's mom. We can tell Laura what really happened. If you want to contact us, and we'll deliver the news so it's a little bit softer, we can do that. Or Laura's brother, whichever one of you might want to book it.
If you want to confess, just let us know. Christy, where can folks find you online?
I'm on Instagram and Threads at Christy M. Wallace and TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather?
I'm all over the world wide web at Heather versus the world.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy.
Sinister.